What's up? This is Just Plain Nonsense.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Rob. All right. So, hey, you've got like, you've been on this little kick about like mind bending questions. You got a bunch of them you want to ask me?
Yeah. And statements.
Mind bending questions and statements.
I'm just going to bend the crap out of your mind right here.
All right. Let me go get some rebar real quick so I can reinforce it.
Are you ready?
All right. Yes.
Got that rebar?
I got some
mental rebar.
Mental rebar.
Ooh, same wavelength. We're in sync right now, like the band. Except for
bye bye. Nope. I don't want to pay for that. All right, so go ahead, hit me.
All right,
well, not literally. Get away from me.
Oh man, that was my chance.
All right, I did get to hit you on the last podcast. So
you did. You did.
Now it's your turn,
and it hurt.
It hurt so good. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so
you just said queso. Go ahead.
If Jimmy cracked corn and nobody cared, then why is there a song about it?
You know, that is an excellent question. And let me start my 3-point answer with this. Nobody cares. That is a very good question, though, because like, who wrote the song?
Somebody who cared.
I bet it was Jimmy.
You know what? I think you solved it.
That's it, because if nobody, he's upset that nobody cared that he cracked corn.
So he put the song out
there. He wrote a song himself, and it's like, it's an homage to himself, and he's like a super depressed corn cracker.
But it's made it this far, so somebody had to care to carry it on, to be like, hey,
he did. Maybe he was like a super rich corn cracker.
Well, here's another question for you. Is the S or the letter C silent in scent?
Ooh.
Like, well, if you smell something.
All right. So,
or you see something.
Scent, for those of you who don't know, is spelled S-C-E-N-T. If the S was silent, it would be sent, C-E-N-T, like money. But if the C was silent, it'd be S-E-N-T, as in like the past tense of send.
Because there are instances with words that the C is silent. So, I mean, it's not like you can dismiss one or the other and just be like, eh.
That is a good question. Like, so if neither one of them was silent, we could pronounce it skint.
Skint.
Like, what skint is this lip balm?
Look at all those candles, all those different skints. It's my sixth skint.
No, scent. Since.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's the wrong word completely.
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
we're using the crap out of skint.
Skint.
Our fake new word.
Right. That's what we've become.
Here's another question. How many random people's vacation photos do you think you're in?
Do you know what? I've actually thought about this. Because like I took a picture one time at like a restaurant or something. It was a selfie, and I saw this lady in the background. She was like chewing her food, and it was like really goofy looking. So, and she was in mid chew. So, and then like her eyes were half closed and stuff. And I was like, I wonder how many pictures she's in. Cause like, think about it. People take pictures at like sporting events. Like okay. So here's another question for you to be able to answer that. Do you have to be recognizable in the photo or just in the photo?
Just in it. Okay. You, the essence of you.
Well, I mean, how many Google images are you in?
Yeah, I mean,
like from the Google Earth images.
It really is unknown. Unless you're just a complete hermit and you order everything on Amazon and you never leave your house. I mean, there's a chance you're in at least one.
Yeah, you're probably in at least one.
You're in somebody's shoebox at the top of a closet or something.
Right,
or
a photo, see, that's album. So weird. And I was like, I'm probably in a picture in somebody's house in Japan or something.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's weird. Yeah, that's a very good question.
Hmm. Well, how many of your memories do you think are true? I know that sounds stupid, but... You know, every time you recant a memory, it changes.
Yeah, you probably lose a little bit of it.
Yeah, so I mean, how many of your memories are actually accurate, and how many do you think are just straight up, like, that's not how it happened? Because you never really bring up a lot of your older memories, you know?
Right.
But if you, sometimes they, you ever bring up somebody, and they're like, well, no, I remember it like this. You know, yeah, like they get
but
lost
the last time you told it, there was probably a little bit of a difference.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of The Adjustment Bureau. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
It was based on a book by Philip K. Dick called The Adjustment Squad. And it's basically these people will go in, and their job is to direct you to follow the path that they have set out for you. And they will influence your day, like to get you to get to where you're supposed to be. They like have some kind of architectural plan that like tells them where you're supposed to be. And everybody knows exactly what time they're supposed to do something to you to make you end up in a certain place.
Well, speaking of
and
memories,
they'll go in and remove your memories if you mess up.
Well, speaking of memories, on a random note, have you ever heard of the Mandela effect?
I have not.
Oh my God, dude.
You educate need
to,
me.
Oh my.
Educate me, bro.
Goodness gracious. Let me educate you on this.
That's going to become our new slogan. Educate
okay.
me, bro.
Okay. So the Mandela effect stems from that Mandela guy that everybody thought was dead. and they come to find out he died in a different time frame. So they named it after him. But basically the Mandela effect is we remember things differently than what they are, you know, allegedly. Right. So we, they think it's like you're sharing the memories of someone from another dimension.
What?
Like, do you remember Jiffy Peanut Butter?
Jiffy?
Yeah.
Yeah, like barely.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Never did. There's never been a Jiffy Peanut Butter. A lot of people remember a Jiffy Peanut Butter.
That's there's another Jiff.
Yeah.
Jiffy. Oh, there's Jiffy Pop. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of people popcorn. Get mixed up. And that's why there's the controversies of just you remember things weirdly or, right. you know, because a lot
you know,
of people.
You know what? That's why they keep witnesses at an event. Like if something happens, they keep them separate so they don't talk right. to each other because they can influence each other's memories.
Right. Exactly. And that's kind of what there's a lot of controversy behind it because there's so many things that happen in history that weren't really the way that they are on record.
Right.
Like the Bernstein Bears. They weren't actually the Bernstein Bears. They were the Bernstein Bears. But everybody remembers them being the Bernstein Bears.
Oh, yeah. Was it S-T-A-I-N? Was their last... Is that how it was spelled? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but it's like Bernstein.
Right.
It's actually spelled differently than that, too.
I do think Bernstein. That's the way I remember it.
Yeah, me too, but it's apparently Bernstein.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a bunch of little weird things. That's the Mandela effect. That's also kind of based off memory.
So who's this Mandela person?
Nelson Mandela.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that name.
Yeah, so like people recant him dying years before he actually did. And when he had the news, okay. you were like, wait, he was already dead.
That's weird.
Yeah, there's all kinds of like weird phenomenons like that where it's just people all agree that something happened a certain way and it come to find out it didn't.
Huh. And that's very interesting.
Yeah.
But then what causes all those people to have that thought?
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of different reasons behind people think so. But look at Darth Vader.
Right.
Darth Vader never said, Luke, I'm your father. But everyone remembers him saying that. That's another one of those common ones from the Mandela effect.
What did he say? He never, because like Luke screams no.
Yeah.
So what does he say?
I wish my wife is here. She's a Star Wars fan.
What's her name?
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. She's from Australia, right?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Okay.
Not really, but yeah.
Not really, but yeah. You know she's going to listen to this and be like, you guys got to quit talking about me.
Yeah. Especially inaccurately like this.
Right.
Are you looking up what Darth Vader says?
I am.
Yeah, look that up.
I'm looking to, oh, and actually there's a...
You can tell we really freestyle our podcast because we're not equipped with research.
We're real time looking this up.
We're just freestyling and like, oh, wait a minute, hold on.
I'm looking it up on IMDb, so it is a credible source.
There you go.
It says, and I quote, this is from IMDb. This is me citing the source so that they can't get mad at me. Luke, I am your father is probably one of the most famous lines in film. Too bad Darth Vader never said it. The Guardian lists the top 10 movie misquotes. Luke, I am your father from The Empire Strikes Back. Actual quote, no, I am your father.
Yes, right.
What was the question? Or what led him to say that?
I don't remember.
I've only watched Star Wars like half a time, so I don't
yeah, really. Yeah, I'm not really a huge fan, but there's a bunch of things like that where people just, it's iconic. Like people know it for being that and it not being right. that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and you know what? That's probably because people say it so many times.
Right,
and
but, then they say but it the was wrong there just way. A bunch of people said it the wrong way?
Well, one person had to say it the wrong way, and then that just caught on.
Well, it's not like everybody knows that one person.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like there's a bunch of people that watched it and was like, that's what it said.
All right, what else you got? Been in my mind, bro.
Been in your mind? Oh, yeah, there was that one where does a teacher have the right to give homework to a homeless kid?
See, that's just mean. But how many homeless kids are actually going to school?
I don't know.
If we break this down mathematically, I don't have the figures in front
yeah,
of me.
Yeah, I need the statistics on homeless kids going to school.
that's a good question. I mean, technically, it'd still be considered homework. It's not called homework because you have to take it to your home. It's just homework because it's not done at school.
Yeah, but it's kind of insulting. Like, hey, do your homework. I can't.
I don't have a home. Because, I mean, I used to do my homework on the bus. I didn't call it bus work. Like, the teacher's not going to break it down individually for each child is like, well, you're going to go to a trailer. So this is called trailer work. And you're going to do this at your job because you're a 7-year-old who works in a shoe factory. So we're going to call this factory work.
True. Well, if a cyclops closes its eye, is it a wink or a blink? Like is a it, long wink. Even if it's a long period of time, would it be a long
so like blink when he's sleeping?
Or a wink?
You're talking
wink.
About when he's sleeping?
No, just during the course of consciousness, just throughout his day.
I mean, I would assume that it would be both, probably. Just classified as both.
Well, if you stand behind a clock, is it still going clockwise?
Well, see, that's based on perspective. Yeah. That's the angle that you're viewing it at. Technically, the clock would still be going clockwise. But from your perspective, it would be going counterclockwise if you're behind it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I take that one back.
No, that's still a good question. It doesn't have to, like, we don't have to answer it one certain way for it to be a bad question.
Well, did you know that slang is short for street language?
I did not. That is very interesting.
Yeah.
And technically, slang is a slang term. Kind of like, nope, I was going to say kind of like an onomatopoeia, but onomatopoeia is...
It's double slang, bro.
Dude, that's like slangception.
Mind
we
blown.
Need to get Leonardo on this.
Yeah, we do.
Somebody called DiCaprio. Who's got his number?
I lost it.
Lost it, like... Did you throw it over the railing of the Titanic?
yeah, because I was totally there in that movie. If you think about it, a kangaroo is just a T-Rex deer, the way it's built. Anatomically. Whoa.
I get where they're going with that, but that's not entirely accurate. Because, first of all, a T-Rex and a deer could not get it on. Like, anatomically, that's just not possible. However...
Anonymically.
So, another thing that doesn't work out is because a kangaroo has fairly long arms. And one of the defining factors of a T-Rex is that they're really short. He can't even paint a house because they're so short.
I feel like a kangaroo's arms are pretty short as well. I mean, it kind of looks like that.
I mean, I get where they're going with it. But, I mean, kangaroos are jacked, too. Like, they are strong.
Dude.
T-Rexes, they're all scaly. Deer, they're just
over
like...
Over their massive T-Rex muscles.
Right.
I feel like this would be a morbid way to look at Valentine's Day. Oh, if someone ever gave you flowers, you know, it could just be like, faces are life support for plants.
I mean, I could see it kind of being that, but I would think that it would be more of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe I shouldn't do podcasts. I can't. I don't know how to words.
I don't know how to word either.
I don't know how to words. No, it's like it's a habitat. Like it's like its own biodome. Did you ever see that movie?
You know, I've been told 1,000 times I should watch that movie, and I have still not seen it.
I mean, I'm not going to be 1,001 to tell you to watch it, but I mean, it's fairly entertaining. I wouldn't say it's great by any means, but it's fairly entertaining.
I feel like you're strongly suggesting it.
But I'm not telling you to watch it. So you're only at 1,000.
Well, there's another mind-bending little statement here.
All right.
Lasagna is really spaghetti-flavored cake. The cake form of spaghetti.
See, that's like the best kind of cake is like a spaghetti. Well, no, I would say that's the best form to have spaghetti in is the shape of a cake. Like, I love cake.
And I love spaghetti.
See? I mean, perfect.
Boom.
We're a match made in pasta. Cut that out.
Cakery. Pasta cakery.
Cakery. I mean, that's a really good analogy, and I like that. So I'm going to start calling lasagna spaghetti cake. I'm going to say, hey, can you make me a spaghetti cake?
I'm going to run with it. I'm just going to keep using that forever.
Do it.
I'm never going to call it lasagna again.
You just did.
After this point, starting now.
Starting now?
Right now.
Okay.
Spaghetti cake. Let me throw something else at you. Sleep is like a time machine to breakfast.
Ooh, I like that because I like me some breakfast.
That's how it feels, even though it's not really at all what it's doing. You're still passing the same amount of time. You're just not conscious enough to.
Right.
I'm just, not really sure I like that. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's interesting. It's a fun thought, but it brings me to this. Sleep is one of the only activities that you have to pretend to do in order to actually accomplish it. You have to lay there and pretend to be asleep in order to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You're supposed to give me more to call than that. They're just a sound.
Well, what about bubble wrap? That's like the chewing gum for your fingers. Is it not?
It's a little louder, but I mean, it's definitely fun to play with.
Definitely.
You know what? I hate the bubble wrap that, like, when you squeeze one bubble, the air goes into the next bubble. Like, who designed that nonsense?
Yeah.
You ever seen those? Like,
yeah.
It's you squeeze it and it just fills up the next bubble. It's like it's supposed to pop. That's the whole point of bubble wrap.
It's recycling the air
to
your next bubble.
Ooh, speaking of that, actually, it was kind of disproven. A lot of people are like, hey, man, when I order something from China and I pop the bubble, I'm getting Chinese air. But that's not true because the majority of bubble wrap that is in China actually comes from the United States. You can fact check that if you want. I don't know exactly if I'm right or not, but I'm pretty sure I'm fairly accurate.
I hope you are.
I'm pretty sure I am.
So that's an interesting fact.
Oh, yeah.
If it is indeed one.
You must like arms. It's like the mind-bending facts. The bending mind. What else you got? Is that it?
Off the top of my head, I kind of like the whole alternate universe theories, you know, stuff like that.
Right. Those are always fun to talk about.
Now, see, you know, one thing that always bothered me when they was talking about how there could be infinite yous, versions of you or of yourself.
Right.
I don't see how that could be possible. Just because the odds that you exist, that you could exist over again with everything lining up the way it should be, with the right amount of bugs eaten in a prehistoric time, with the right amount, you know, people dying within each year, you know, and people being born at the right time and moving to the right area and location, or being at the right moment to meet somebody by chance, which led to a chain reaction. It's kind of hard to believe that there'd be mirror images of that unless they just kept starting, they echoed.
Each universe.
Each moment echoed so you can exist in multiple ones. That I could see it happening that way, I guess. But, I mean, they definitely couldn't start simultaneously, I mean, at the same time.
Well, see, here's a thought that I've had. If the universe truly is infinite, as they say that it really is. They say it's infinite and it's expanding. But if it truly is infinite, take a second to think about the word infinity. Like, a lot of people are like, it's forever. That's super easy to say, but think about it for a second. Infinity is like literally forever, like it never ever stops. There is no end. That's really hard for us to fathom.
Right. Well, so, the universe can't be infinite at this point in time if it's expanding.
Right, right. But if, let's assume that it is infinite. So if that were the case, if it truly is infinite, or say in like, I don't know, 10, 100, 1,000, million, billion years, that's a legit number. I looked it up. It's in the number index, Wesley's number index.
Okay. Well, the highest number we've marked is
a Googleplex.
Googleplex, yeah.
It's a big number. But if the universe truly is infinite, that means that there is every single combination of every single, like, atom, everything that you could possibly think of is out there somewhere.
Right.
So, if that's the case, then somewhere out there is a planet where there's another copy of me, but I am made entirely out of candy. Like, think about it. Like, that's infinity for you.
Well, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a physical planet in our physical universe. It could be another dimension where the rules change, you know, and
right.
I mean, who's to say there's not another plane of existence layered on top of our plane of existence?
Right.
You know, but it's just like that kind of brings you back to the whole like ghosts and angels and demons and the whole thing where they can exist the same place you are, but their visual instrument that your eyes are can't pick up their existence.
Right. So, because they exist on a different plane.
Yeah. Because they're different levels of density physically. If you want to go there, that, you know, you can exist in the same moment in time.
It's all mind-boggling.
Yes. It's mind-bottling.
Bottling?
Yeah.
Put your mind in a bottle. Yeah. It's fine. All right. So, hey, I have some more of these mind-bending little thoughts, if you're ready to get back to that. Your stomach thinks all potato is mashed. Is that not true?
That's true.
Your mouth knows that there's, like, French fries and potato wedges, and there's, like, baked potatoes, mashed potatoes. Your stomach is like, hey, the only thing that exists is mashed potatoes.
I guess if your stomach could think and conjure thought, then yes, I guess it would.
Well, in this scenario, obviously it can. Yeah. Because, I mean, mine does.
It doesn't recognize any other type of potato other than mashed. You just gave a crazy look. I have no idea what it means.
I saw this one.
Looks startled.
It says, the sinking of the Titanic must have been a miracle to the lobsters in the kitchen. They're like, they're saved. Centaurs have two rib cages. They have the man rib cage and then they have the horse rib cage. So does that mean that they have like two hearts?
So they've scientifically dissected this fictional creature. Like, this is a fact now.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, think about it. If you look at them.
Leprechauns. Yeah. did you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at a centaur, like, that's half man, half horse, or yeah, half horse, half some sort of
man, bear, pig,
man, bear, pig.
Half man, half bear, so half pig.
They have two rib cages. Do they have two hearts? Where is the heart located? Suppose you were going to hunt one and you want to shoot it right through the heart or the lungs. Where would you shoot it? In the horse lungs or the human lungs?
Well, I guess if it needed all organs to survive, I'm pretty sure it, no matter which heart or lungs you hit it in, it's going to affect its ability to function and it's going to drop it. It deemed it necessary to have it in its existence, so I'm pretty sure they're still vital organs, no matter how many they have.
True. But I mean, if
it'd
you
probably
lose,
take longer to kill it. But.
Yeah, because if you lose one lung and you have four, I mean, you just breathe out of the other three. Okay, so if two people on opposite sides of the world each drop a piece of bread, the earth briefly becomes a sandwich. Anything in between two pieces of bread is technically a sandwich. I mean, that's the way I choose to view the world. See if you can break this one down for me, because I don't understand it. I wonder if there are any times on the clock that I've never seen. Oh, like actually looking at it.
Yeah.
Like 1:26. Like, have I ever looked at the clock when it said 1:26 and like 28 seconds or whatever?
I feel like at some point you have, because if you've ever waited, how many times have you waited in waiting rooms? Right.
I mean, are you looking for an exact number of times I've waited in waiting rooms?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you think about it, there's lots of points in time or different times of the day or night that you've looked at the clock pretty religiously.
Right.
So but, I think if you add up through the course of your life, you know, I feel like at some point you've looked at maybe not every second, but within every minute.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there would be a time on the clock that you probably never looked at.
Yeah.
Like, with if you're going by seconds. That's an interesting question. The Google self-driving car should have an I'm feeling lucky button that drives you to a random location. You'd definitely end up in the ghetto on that one. If well, it's already passed, but this one says, if Hillary Clinton wins in 2016, it will be the first time that two presidents have had sex with each other.
That we know of.
Oh, this one's awful. The witches from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
The witches from Sabrina having a cat called Salem is like a Jewish family with a cat called Auschwitz. I really don't want to get beat up for that one.
Oh, dude, I got a question for you. This is part of the Mandela Effect again, but this is the one that actually, like, bugged me.
All right, let's
do it. Because I feel like I remember watching it. Do you remember the movie from the 90s where Sinbad was a genie?
Yes, it was called Shazam.
Yeah, never existed.
What?
Yeah, that's the one that bent my mind. And a lot of people I talked to, they're like, yeah. But there's the Shazam movie, but it's not that one. And that one's got Shaq as a genie. But we all remember Sinbad being a genie, but that was in a flick that we all, that was Kazam, right?
Yeah,
that's or what Kazam, I mean. Or Kazam and Shazam, the two different movies, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, the one with Shaq existed, but the one with Sinbad never existed. That's one of those Mandela Effect things. Because I remember watching Sinbad as a genie.
But he was never a genie.
Never in any film. I've talked to countless people randomly, and they'll be like, yeah, dude, I remember that movie, you know, the divorce mom, blah, blah, yeah. No, never happened.
What?
Yeah. I can point out details of that movie, and it never happened.
So are you mixing it with another movie?
That's one explanation for it. But, dude, come on. If he was never played a genie, and we all remember Sinbad being a genie.
Well, I mean, once you said Shaq, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember Shaq being a genie.
Right, but I remember Sinbad.
I thought Sinbad as well. Is it because you think it could be because we might confuse Sinbad and Shaq?
No, dude, they're nothing alike.
I know, but I mean, like, they don't have to be anything alike for us to confuse them in our head. You could just, like, there could be one similarity that makes you, maybe it's just because they're black that we're like, oh, black people look alike, so those two must have been in the movie.
I wish I had one of my black friends in here so I can ask, because I bet they'd be confused too.
And I probably would have punched me for saying that.
Because it sounds incredibly racist, yeah.
Right, but it's not.
No.
It's making fun of.
It's kind-hearted, not no hate driven behind it.
No, but definitely not.
Seriously, I remember that movie. I remember details of it. And I remember the details being different than that Shazam and Kazam being
you
different.
You can't remember it if it never happened, though.
But I do. Those memories exist. That's the Mandela Effect. I had the memories of it.
So you must have created them.
Right. But ironically enough, people all over the country have those same memories that I've never communicated with.
I remember seeing that online. They were posting about that. And I was like, yeah, I remember that movie. What are they talking about?
Yeah, I feel like I remember going to, like, the local video rental store as a kid and being like, yeah, I want to watch Kazam.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's another one of those ones that I was kind of, because I remember watching it, but never existed. You can't find the movie anywhere. And if you try to research it, immediately Mandela Effect pops up because a lot of people remember watching it, but the movie was never created.
That's so crazy.
Sinbad was never in a genie movie at any point in time.
He was in a movie called House Guest. I remember that one.
What was that? What was the premise of that?
He was a house guest.
Was there anything where he wore that was genie?
No, he didn't grant any wishes.
But what if that's really going on, though? What if we really are, maybe during our sleep at some point, when our brain's in our REM cycle and we're storing our memories, what if we're actually
Wi-Fi connection to other people?
And we link up to that memory, a version of us from one of those infinite universes we were talking about, or multiverses that we were talking about.
That'd be so weird. That'd be very interesting, though. It'd be cool if we could actually track that and find out if it actually was a thing that was happening.
And what if, like, the another one of the millions of me is married to somebody completely different? Or what if, even crazier,
what if they
married the same woman I did? Because, I mean, the odds, I've moved across the country. Right. You know,
what if there's one out there where there's a version of you that's married to me?
like a gay ass?
I mean, we don't have to be gay.
A woman version of me?
No.
Like a woman version of you, dude. I'm straight up.
Nah, dude, my arms are too big for that. Can you imagine a woman version of me? Please don't.
dang you for putting that in my head.
I don't need you to throw up everywhere.
Hey, I'm Rebella.
Rebella. And we're done with that segment. that'd be kind of neat.
I would be a pretty awesome chick, though, if you think about it.
Would you still talk like this?
No, I'd be like, hey, boys.
You got a little rasp in your voice. Yeah. Hey, boys.
All the best singers do, you know, right. A lot of them do.
Oh, now you're a singer too?
Yeah.
You know what I can't get over? I can't get over the fact that this whole time you've been wearing 3D glasses through this whole entire thing.
I forgot I was wearing them.
I've been trying to find a good point to point that out. Like, but you've been wearing 3D glasses for this whole entire
time. Because I wear my 3D glasses at night so I can
I don't know the words.
I don't either.
I don't either. All right, so if you view a bald eagle at the zoo, you are looking at the American symbol of freedom in captivity. How ridiculous is that?
That's ridiculous.
If your shirt isn't tucked into your pants, then your pants are tucked into your shirt.
Whoa.
Childbirth is literally an emergency. What?
What?
I don't know. That's what it says.
Oh, because it's emerging. It's a moment of emergence into the world. It's emergency.
Okay, I get it.
And I feel dumb that it took me that long to put that together.
I didn't even get it until you said it.
Well, I'm all filling some time while you're looking something up on your smartphone. Hannibal Lecter never said hello, Clarice.
There's another one of those things that, like, because everybody, like, you put the ham on your face, and then you look at her, and you're like, hello, Clarice.
Hello. Yeah, all he says is simply is good morning.
Huh.
In that moment.
But why
that movie.
Why does everybody think that? Because I always thought that he said that, too.
And is it just because we're so, our brains are so feeble and easily impressionable that we just hear somebody quote it, and, you know, but it's like, how many people had to quote that for the first time for everyone to think that was
right?
You know what I mean? It's weird for me.
Huh?
I don't know. How do you spell Fruit Loops? The fruit part portion of the word.
That's F R O O T.
Okay, you got it right.
I'm a graphic designer, so I notice that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is funny. Like, we say hair when referring to lots of it, but we say hairs when referring to a few. Like, hey, you've got a couple nose hairs, but hey, you need to go comb your hair. You gotta give me something.
I'm still trying to digest it.
Don't be digesting them hairs, man. See? Hairs.
So, you know, there is something I read earlier I thought was pretty interesting when I was pooping.
Perfect.
So there's a telescope that's going to be roughly completed in like 10 years from now that NASA's working on using.
Why is it going to take them 10 years to build it?
Because it's going
to
be super awesome. Well, they're trying to view something they found right now, but they can't view it efficiently. You know, they can't really distinctly break down what it is, but they think it's another area in space, you know, beyond our Milky Way galaxy into another galaxy far away. The Hubble telescope doesn't quite pick up very well, but they believe that, you know, we have our M-class star, the star of our size and heat that we have, you know, in the Milky Way galaxy that we orbit, you know, our sun.
Right.
Well, this supposedly have one, and there's three planets that seem to be habitable by life, with life, possibly, you know, like they think they can even have water on it, and it's just the right distance.
Right.
Like the same miracle we have, that we're just the right distance, even though they're closer, it's like closer, almost like Mercury up on it, but the star is so much less bright and, I mean, less hot. And,
right.
And it's just enough where it could actually be life on one of those planets and water and everything, so they're...
So they think that's out there. That's why they're building the telescope, to be able to find it.
Yeah, so they're spending ridiculous amounts of money just trying to find out if there's, you know,
they're spending probably at least like 20 or 30 bucks.
Yeah, oh, dude, at least.
Well, I think it is actually kind of cool though that they did find seven new planets. Have you seen that? Like they've found seven new planets.
Yeah, I think it's probably the same article, but three of them were notable for life. You know.
Okay. So, if those three planets are habitable, there's only three of them, how do we get there?
It's a good question.
Like, I don't know if they, I'm sure they said how far away they are, but I mean, what is it? The closest star is like however many million light years away or something like that.
Right.
So like in order to get there, you'd have to travel faster than the speed of light. Right.
Right.
Like, which is according to Einstein's theory is impossible. However, he did theorize that time viewing, like you could actually see into the past or the future, whatever. So here's my thought. Think about this. Okay. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. You can fact check that. I know it's right. Now, if you travel faster than that, you pass the photons that have left the Earth, right? So if you travel out far enough, you pass the photons, and then after a little bit of time, they'll catch up to you. So you can view into the past.
Whoa.
Right? So if you go fast enough, you could actually look into the past and like see, potentially, if you have a telescope that could actually see, you know, that kind of detail, you could even see who murdered JFK. Like you could see it. Like, cause you would pass the photons that left the Earth at that time.
Then you'd have to set that location and time very quickly though.
Well, depends on how long well if you missed up. It, you could just travel out further and then you'd pass those photons again and look back on it again.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I thought about that when I was like 10. How weird is that?
That is strange.
I don't know if it's possible. Like if traveling faster than the speed of light ever is going to be possible.
I'm sure there's people that are a lot smarter than us listening to this going, no, you're done.
Well, we're not physicists. So, if you're going to get Sheldon Cooper and Leonard Hofstadter in here, then they can tell us how it's going for those Big Bang Theory fans.
Cause they're real.
They're legit physicists.
Even the warp drive thing from Star Trek. What if you were just making
like,
point instead of like from point A to point C, you had point B in the middle, you can just kind of cut through and then.
That's actually discussed in, I'm wanting to say Event Horizon, but I'm probably wrong. No, I think that might be it. Cause they're talking about folding space time.
Right.
And he pushes a pencil through the paper and then space time unfolds.
Right.
You're
shortening the distance between.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. You don't actually travel faster than the speed of light. You actually fold space in on itself and you can travel from one point to another in an instant. But that would take some massive, massive amount of energy.
Right.
But I mean, again, we are not physicists, so I couldn't even begin to theorize how that would be possible. But yeah, so like you talk about that kind of stuff, then that gets you into like wormholes and like black holes. Like I did research when I was a little kid. Every time I was supposed to do a research paper, it was always on black holes. And it kind of like, that's smart. Kids, if you're listening, every time you have to do a research paper, do it on the same topic every year. That way you know about it. You don't actually have to go and do all the research because you kind of know what you're talking about already.
You've already got the platform for it.
Right. So I started with like red dwarfs and I don't even remember. It's been so long, but they, you know, turn into black holes because it's an exploding star that collapses on itself, blah, blah, blah.
What about the mobile black holes? Isn't that kind of scary?
I've never heard about a mobile black hole.
The black holes that actually propel ourselves through space.
See, that is definitely scary because the black holes are, they're really tiny. They're like the size of like the head of a pin.
Right.
Not a writing utensil, but a pin, like a little needle. And there's so much mass in there that light can't even escape it.
Right.
So the gravity that's inside that pulls even the light back, which is weird because as light travels, like on Earth, there's not enough gravity for it to even like move the photon at all. I mean, I assume, but like in a black hole, it pulls it so far that it can't even leave the surface.
Yeah, I heard even at an incredibly far distance, things start to spaghettify long before they can even see it, before it's visible even through a telescope. Like
yeah.
It's just some of them are so massive, some of these black holes. And it's like, what's inside of a black hole?
Everything that ever went past it, but it's the gravity.
Well, does it break
so
down? Does it in a sense digest?
No, I think it's just smashed so small. Like, but then that just makes you wonder like how powerful is that? Cause like it's smashing those atoms. Like they can only take up so much physical space. So how much physical space do they actually take up inside a black hole? Or does a black hole like change the matter, like the actual properties that make up that material?
I don't know. It's a crazy thought.
There was like, I read when I was researching it and stuff, they said like, once you cross the event horizon, which is the distance from the black hole where the gravity is inescapable.
Right.
That like, if you were to be traveling in that, once you cross that, that event horizon, it would stretch you so far. Like by the time your feet got through, your body would already be on the surface. It pulls you that fast. Like it would stretch you.
Right. Yeah. I think I heard that term being called spaghettified. Like, I know it sounds like a joke name, but I think that's what they were.
But the way that they find black holes is that it's actually like a blank space. Like it's black because light cannot escape it.
Yeah.
So the light will like it. The gravity is so great that it actually wraps the light around it. It's like it bends light.
That is incredible to think of the force that's out there that just beyond our comprehension.
Right. And it also makes me think about like other planets and stuff that are out there. Cause like, again, if space is actually infinite, there's all kinds of crazy like planets out there. And you know how they're like Jupiter and Saturn and like all these other stars and stuff are like so much bigger than Earth. Like, imagine what's out there that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, how big are those planets?
I'm sure there's things out there that even if we see it with the physical eye, we wouldn't be able to understand what it is. You know, just because there's so much complexity to the universe, it's insane.
Right. Yeah. And I just love looking at the pictures that they take from, like, the telescope and the satellites that have been sent out that can actually see other, like, into other galaxies and things like that. They have, like, these clouds of, I don't know, some kind of matter that's like amazingly beautiful colors and all this kind of crazy stuff. Like, I wish that we had the ability to travel to that and actually look at it and experience it. That would be freaking fantastic.
One of the problems with traveling is radiation, you know?
Right.
Like, what's the Van Buren belt or whatever? Is that the name of it? The belt of radiation that goes around our planet?
That sounds familiar. I couldn't tell you.
Well, that's it. That's funny because there was controversy lately. I was reading an article and I'm not really sure how solid this article is, but but it definitely stemmed a lot of conspiracy thoughts. They were saying that from the point to get to us to the moon, that the radiation was so dense that they're starting to question if they actually went to the moon or not.
I mean, that's always been a hotly debated topic.
Yeah, but there's like a new findings that are raising questions with how do they do that? How do they get through that radiation belt?
You're saying like the astronauts wouldn't have been able to survive?
Yeah, like our ship technology wasn't enough to stop it from for penetrating. It wasn't really a very good Faraday cage. Right. It just kind of like it could still be exposed to tons of it. But yeah, they came back completely.
This is the first time hearing about that. I haven't like researched it my whole life or anything, but it's just interesting to hear that because I've never heard that theory before.
I've heard all kinds of stuff. I mean, who's to say what's true and what's not? I mean, I'm pretty open to the idea of anything being possible or not being.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm super open-minded. Like, I like to believe that absolutely anything is possible because there is no way to disprove anything. Because, like, just because you haven't been able to prove it does not mean it is disproven.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, arrogantly as people in our feeble 20-something to 60-year-old minds as adults, we're sitting there trying to say, this can't happen.
Right.
Or this is, like, based off of what, your perception of reality? I mean, right. There's so much out there that just changes constantly. I mean, our understanding of things changed constantly.
Right,
as well.
Right. And the understanding of physics and all that stuff back, you know, I don't know, 60, 100 years ago is like, you know, we've totally got all kinds of new information. So theories back then have been like, you know, there's no way that could happen or blah, blah, blah. Right. So it's definitely always advancing. So it's always changing and new discoveries are being made that change theories and hypotheses and all that kind of craziness.
Oh yeah, dude, it's nuts. I mean, when you really, really think about it, it's kind of depressing because we literally, if we were to break it down into percentages, we don't even understand like 1% or even close to 1%.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You'd have to break down that 1% into much, much smaller fractions than even that.
It's too small to even probably to even illustrate.
Yeah. Like your wiener. Just kidding. Boom.
I like that. I mean, I don't, but I do.
I burn.
The only thing I have is like a elementary level understanding of all of that. Cause that's when I did the research.
I think next time I sit in the toilet, I'm going to do an extra 10 minutes of space research and realize how stupid I sounded.
While you're listening to the podcast and your legs will fall asleep. And I think it would be kind of cool to go live on another planet. Like I would love to be like one of the first people on a new planet. Of course, it'd be super boring because there's no video games or TV. Like Netflix isn't on Mars already.
Yeah, you're starting all over.
Yeah. Can you imagine trying to like stream Netflix from Earth to Mars on Wi-Fi? So, I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool to go to another planet, but I would like for there to be a couple things there, you know, for me to do. I don't want to be like the first one there.
Yeah, but then there's so many things that would just freak me out constantly. Like the unknown weather, like when a storm starts getting bad, you're like, oh God, how bad is this going to get?
You know what I was thinking bacteria, about?
Like the viruses, like you get the flu and you're like, oh, okay, we'll be fine. But like there's viruses
on Mars and you're just like, oh, what, where did this come from? So I was thinking about this. Like, you've seen the movie The Martian with Matt Damon?
I don't think I have.
Oh, get out.
Okay, bye.
Throwing some sound effects of the door closing. Because the door sounds like that. The creaky was good. All right, so in The Martian, he has to travel, like, I don't know, 250 kilometers, which I don't know how far a kilometer is. The people who made the movie do, so they know what they're talking about. Anyway, 250, I don't know how far he had to travel, but it was a long way. And it took him like days and days and days and weeks to get there. But he would stop and he would have to recharge the batteries for the vehicle he was driving. So it's just crazy for me to think that like he was sleeping outside, like in a suit, but he was sleeping outside the vehicle. Like, think about that. Like, how long would it take for you to like be comfortable sleeping outside? Like, on Earth, you know that like if you sleep outside, there's any number of things that could come and disturb you from being asleep. But if you sleep on Mars, you're literally the only person on the planet. So you don't have to worry about a car driving by or anybody coming by and stealing your wallet. Like,
I feel like it'd be scarier for me just to know I'm in a vast area where I don't belong.
Right.
And there's so many, maybe not other life forms, but there would be so many other variables that can go wrong. Yeah. Right. I mean, all of a sudden there's some weird storm that, you know, isn't on that planet, right, or that's on that planet. It's not earthly that you're not used to. And you're like, what's going on?
Well, in the movie, the storm was rocks. Like, it was raining rocks.
That would suck.
Yeah. That's what it was. I mean, that's what it looked like to me anyway. It was raining rocks from the sky.
It's a rain and rocks. Hallelujah. It's a rain and rocks.
And that takes us back to the beginning of the podcast when we sang this song earlier.
Yep.
I got some more of this Mandela effect.
What you got?
You know the song We Are the Champions by Queen?
Yes.
It ends differently than most people think it does. It does not end with of the world. The song just ends.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't actually end with that.
Does it say in the world at any point in the song?
I can't say for sure about that.
Because if it did, then that's just our brains finishing stuff, because that's what it does.
Right. So it says, many of those familiar with the song remember the final lyrics being, no time for losers, because we are the champions of the world. Well, guess what? There is no of the world. The song just ends, and it's driving people crazy because they feel 100% sure that they've heard otherwise in the past.
I feel like I have two. That's why I'd want to know if it was in the rest of the song.
Well, you're just going to have to listen to that on your own time, because we are not going to pay Queen to play their song. Ooh, here's a good one. People think that the Monopoly man, Rich Uncle Pennybags, has a monocle, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I've read that one. That's crazy, because I always remember him having it.
Well, that's just because that type of character is stereotypically depicted with a monocle, but he does not have one. Did you know that Curious George never had a tail? I always imagined he had a tail, because he's a monkey.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't he have a tail?
Oh, here's one. Here's another one for you. The queen in Snow White never said, mirror, mirror on the wall. She always said, magic mirror on the wall.
Yeah, I read that one before, too, and that blew my freaking mind, because I remember hearing that, too. Or I remember people saying that. I think that's more so that one. But a lot of people say that, you know.
Right.
Well, here's a little weird fact. Do you know what animal never dies of old age? It only dies of external effects?
It's a turtle of some kind.
Lobsters.
Really?
Lobsters don't die of old age.
That's because they're aliens from other planets.
Dude, they got to be something weird like that.
All right, and on that note, I think we're going to call it a day. This has been Rob.
And this has been Mike.
All right, we'll see you guys later.